scope pra essa.
That's our intro.
It's a fucking baby.
It's a baby. Cocaine baby. No.
A bear.
I watched a different movie, I think.
Cocaine baby.
Yes. It was a hardcore drama about a mother's struggle with drugs. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we watch Cocaine Bear. Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
I'm Jody.
How are you, Jody?
How are you?
How's it?
I'm good, 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 good. Mm. What are you chewing?
Unprofessional.
What are you chewing?
Borrelgum.
Is it Chappies?
It's not Chappies. It's a Stomerol. They should start selling Chappies in the packs like the Stomerol.
No, but then you would lose the education. Where do you think our tax money goes?
Yes, Chappies education.
Chappies Slippies.
Never mind, roads, infrastructure.
So how are you doing before your chewing gum so rudely right. interrupted us?
All right, it's liquor. It's a bit cooler today, which is dead. Look.
It really helps.
I know it does help. Last week was a banger for you.
It was rough. It was a banger for you too.
Yeah, my bangers are also, they're going to keep coming.
No, but yours was a banger for a different reason.
Yes, it was my wife's birthday and
not your wife. Everyone knows her as the Abby.
I know, but like sometimes I try to mix it up.
Nah, that's true.
It was the Abby's birthday and it was our anniversary as well in the same month. That was stupid. But but yeah, we came out the other side. It's fine. It's fine. It was worth it.
Yeah.
A lot of margaritas.
Did you forget about the money problems?
It's true. Alcohol does help you forget about your other problems. But then you wake up the next day and not only do you still have the problems, but you also have a hangover.
Are you aware of what a corpse kit is?
Is it like a big squirt with your head?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a black label.
Oh, Zamalek.
Zamalek.
Okay,
yeah.
No, we know it as next Zamalek morning. Or a next label.
Morning. No, next morning.
Oh, the next
just
morning.
The corpse kit to get you on the level.
On that note, before we get too heavy into
that's
the
that's a natural segue.
The deeds. Yeah. We're not doing news this week.
No.
So it's our Oscars recapitation. We had our favorites the last time. We had our predictions and the fucking awards finally happened, Jody.
Yeah. We had our Broscas, which was much more well received.
Actually, that's not what I saw. I saw that people actually enjoyed the lack of drama from this Oscars.
True, although I feel like Jimmy Kimmel made about 75 Chris Rock jokes.
Boring, though. Motherfucker was boring. Yo, he was boring.
They should just less a host now. Like, honestly, you don't need a host.
It's either they have no host or just Ricky Gervais.
Yes, every time.
I mean, not that maybe he's not the best comedian, but at those award shows, he just goes for the jugular.
Do you know what I love about Ricky Gervais? He says that people assume he's Hasip because he's like always
he's got
always
the glass. Yeah.
It looks like he's drunk and it looks like he's saying whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
But he is so worried about offending people. Because to him, when the persona that all the actors and all the famous people
it's not who he actually is.
That's up for grabs. Like, I can make cut of you for who you are portraying yourself to be.
Yeah.
But if he's doing personal shit, like, whatever, that's on a really scratching deep, that to him is...
When Mel Gibson came out... what did he say about Mel Gibson? Something about anti-Semitism. I'm not sure. But he was brutal. But Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, what the hell? Yeah. Some of the presenters were better than him, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, it happened. The fashion, amazing.
Yeah.
Love Donald Glover's suit. Papa Pedro Pascal looked amazing.
Riz Ahmed.
There was this one woman in the crowd who had, I'm not sure who she is, she had this giant white thing.
I didn't
know. It was a dress. She had a white dress and she had a giant, it was massive. And nobody behind it.
It's like that people that go to sports events with sombreros. And it's just like, if you're behind them, it's nothing.
They couldn't see, and the camera could not see them.
Yo.
I don't know who the fuck was behind her.
Yo, just imagine you were there the whole night.
But I found that quite funny. Overall, I think it was drama-free. There were some issues that I have in terms of some people were cut off earlier than others.
That's also a political game where you can cut off with the card.
Yeah, because specifically the one I want to reference is, I think it was animated or short documentary or something, and two Indian women won. Mm. And then immediately after that, in the same sort of category, but a different award, and it was two white men who went up. So they timed it, and they gave the Indian women way less time to speak than the white men.
You know, you would think in this day and age, where people are going to analyze this stuff.
I know.
Don't do stupid shit. But
the thing is, while I was watching it, I was like, subconsciously, it felt shorter. Yeah. And I mean, their time versus the guys. Because both of them were able to speak, the white men. And then the moment they switched to the other Indian woman, they cut her off. Her mic was cut. And she actually had such a dope thing to play. I'm going to put it in the edit.
Tonight is historic. This is the first Oscar for any Indian production, and two women here won this. I just want to say to all the women watching, the future is audacious, and the future is us, and the future is here. Thank you.
The shit like that, Oscars will never get that shit right, I think.
Every
time. But overall, Jody, how did you feel?
Not many surprises, I think. We'll get into it.
There was a couple of surprises for me.
I felt like they played it safe this year.
Nothing surprises you, Jody.
Nothing. I come prepped, bruh. I'm like Batman with these awards. But I think if you look at who was winning leading up to the Oscars, there were no glaring shots.
Well, yeah. I mean, sure, yeah. Because, I mean, the BAFTAs also predicted... Mm. Some of what was happening SAG as well, yeah. So I say let's get into it. Let's get into the categories that we think are important. The rest can fuck off.
Yeah, we don't care if you don't like our categories.
No, I'm kidding. Everyone's important, but we only have so much time. So yeah. The writing awards. There's two for screenplays. Mm-hmm. One is original screenplay, and the other one's adapted screenplay.
Yes.
Original screenplay. The nominees were Triangle of Sadness, Tar, Fablemans, Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once. That was obviously the winner.
Yeah.
Which one did you think was going to take this?
This was a strong category. My heart wanted Banshees of Inisherin to win this one.
Okay.
But I'm not sad about Everything Everywhere.
Some context, yeah. I went to an Oscars party to watch it.
I couldn't talk to you all day.
Yeah, you couldn't. I stayed off social media. You couldn't talk to me.
You woke up at 6:30 to tell me.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me.
Don't fucking message me.
Because
the people that were hosting, they take it quite seriously. Yeah. There's two of them specifically that go, each year they compete against each other.
So
I got there, and then there were these sheets, and they had printed out and made their crosses by their predictions and whatever. And then she asked me, do you want your own sheets? And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. And then I was starting to make my predictions, but then it's your heart versus
what you think
logic
will happen.
And the politics and all this jazz. So it was really fucking interesting to actually discuss it with people and be like, you see, I think this one's going to take it for this and this and this. So when it came to this, my heart kind of took over a little bit. So every time I voted for Banshees, spoiler alert, I lost the point.
Yeah, that's a big spoiler, but yeah.
But yeah, Banshees didn't win. Everything Everywhere All at Once won. I'm not mad at that. Let's give that a cheer. Not mad at that one. You know me, bro. I just wanted this movie to win all the awards the time.
Yes. Your favorite movie for 2022, by far. 100% certainty. So, yeah.
And then, yeah, for best adapted screenplay, that's a word. It's the way of the screen. I got this right.
Okay, but you hyped up this movie to me.
I did, because we watched it just before.
I watched Living last night, and I would have Nochal's gone for Living. Okay. But again, that would have been a hard choice.
So I went hard and a little mind with this. Mm. So nominees were Top Gun Maverick, Living? Yeah, the movie about Nando's and their peri peri sauce.
You're still thinking about that.
I am. Living, Glass Onion, All Quiet in the Western Front, and Women Talking. Now, I started with Top Gun because I started from the bottom and now
we got there.
Damn it, Jody. And Women Talking won. And I got that fucking point.
Yeah. Now you were. You've been on point with a lot of stuff.
But
you fucking did your homework. You watched the movies. You've been hyping the ones that are walking away.
Look, it's only because the people who are hosting the party took it so seriously, and I can't come there and half ass it.
Fucking have a movie podcast, and you come there and don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
Nah, bruh. Anyway, nah, bruh.
Let's move on to the next. Wait, are you happy about that?
I'm happy about it.
Have you seen the movie?
I didn't, but I'm going to. So I'm with you.
Okay, it's worth it. That's a dope film. Mm. Original song from a movie. So this one I also got right.
Uh-huh.
Nominations are This Is the Life from Everything Everywhere, Lift Me Up, Rihanna from Black Panther, Hold My Hand, Top Gun Maverick, that's Lady Gaga, Applause from Tell It Like a Woman. I have not heard of this film at all.
I have no idea what that is.
And then Natu Natu from RR and RRR1.
I'm not mad about it, but I did think that Lady Gaga was going to win.
Nah.
I just thought with song, they often go with like what is just the biggest pop song out of
I don't think group. Even the Academy could deny the power of
and
Natu Natu.
And that live performance that they did of it as well.
Okay, easy. We might fuck with the screen. I'm so my heck sweet. So I'm happy about that. I did want this. Nah, man, just catch your breath. Have a sip of water. I did want this movie to win another award at least.
Which like other one
maybe
would you
best foreign film.
Editing or something like that.
Or best foreign film. But I'm glad it won something.
Yeah.
And this guy's speech
was like, yo, comes amazing. Out the quotes Carpenters and just starts singing.
I grew up listening to the Carpenters, and now here I am with the Oscars. There was only one wish on my mind. So was Rajamouli's and my family's. RRR has to win, pride of every Indian. And must put me on the top of the world.
I grew up with the fucking Carpenters.
Yeah, my father used to work with a lot of Carpenters.
Oh.
Yeah, so happy about that. We did the chair, we did the dance. Yes. This one was quite interesting. Film editing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Jody, as a movie fan and... buff.
Oh yeah.
A movie is made in the editing room.
Yeah. A movie can be so cucky if it's edited badly.
Star Wars was only as good as it was because of the editing.
Yes. In hindsight, we now know that George is not such a
True. And I mean that's why Tarantino only wanted to work with that woman. What the fuck? I wish I knew the
and name. In George's case, his wife.
Yeah.
Because George Lucas, if it wasn't for his wife, because she wasn't involved with the prequels.
No. You could tell.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas, she saved that shit. But anyway, editing is super fucking important. And this is a massive award.
Yeah, this one, I really didn't know what to expect with this category. Because again, Banshees. Tar even. Did you see Tar yet?
Yes, I watched Tar.
So I could have seen Tar winning this one as well.
Mm.
Top Gun, I thought it was going to get something like this.
Mm.
Because of everyone's
It was definitely going to get a technical award.
Yes.
Of
so
some
I
kind.
I thought it would.
But you see that this is artistry too much, I think.
Yeah.
And it went to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Which you cannot.
Wait, we didn't go through the nominees. My bad, listeners.
I mentioned most of them. The
yeah,
only
you
one
did.
I didn't
Top
listen
Gun,
was
Tar,
Elvis.
Elvis, Banshees of Inisherin, and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. Look, also, if you watch the sequences in that movie and the uniqueness of what they achieved through the editing. Mm.
This is only his second film.
Oh, yes. That guy's speech was also brilliant, eh? He's like, how's this real?
So, okay. As a very amateur video editor myself.
Not so amateur.
Very amateur. This guy works in Adobe Premiere.
Mm.
And he was actually, he gave like a talk and whatever, and he showed his timeline. And it was a mess.
Mm.
And you think about the movie, right?
So I don't know. I have repeatedly told you, I don't know how you conceptualize this movie. I don't.
So his fucking timeline, there's stuff all over. Things aren't labeled properly. It's color-coded. And he's like, I was like, I also work like that.
So you have a kinship.
I was like, damn,
a kinship. With it's,
you know, there's nothing wrong with me. My timeline is also fucked up. And he explained, like, yeah, whatever works. You know what I mean? It's as long as the story's there, and if the timeline looks like trash,
it worked. Bruh.
It worked, bruh. You got a fucking Oscar. Oscar winner. Happy about that one. Okay, big one. Cinematography.
Yes.
Okay, so this is also an important category. Nominees are Tar, Empire of Light, Yavis, Bardo, False Chronicles of a Handful of Truths. I have not seen that one. No. And then All Quiet on the Western Front.
A Netflix movie. I was leaning towards Tar on this one.
I also was leaning towards Tar.
There was some gorgeous shots in that film.
Absolutely.
Like, just
it was so moody and
the contrast that was created with like the visual.
Did you spot the spook in the background?
Yes. It was creepy as hell.
But the one nominee for one of the movies I haven't actually seen is Empire of Light, Roger Deakins.
Yes.
And he actually said he was surprised that, in his opinion, the film with the best cinematography wasn't nominated.
Which one did he?
The Batman.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He's not Deakins. Wrong. He's fucking Deakins.
He's not wrong.
And I mean, it is kind of sad because it's a genre film. And the Oscars just will not fucking give genre films the respect.
Did you know that in old Oscars, the original Oscars, they had best comedy and best movie, like the Golden Globes does?
Yeah.
And then they started combining those two because they were like, well, comedies are movies too.
Mm.
But they don't consider anything else. So like, how many horror nominations are there? Three at this point?
Horror, superhero movies, science fiction doesn't get a lot of love unless it's fucking Aliens and Spielberg.
Yeah.
And then like shit like that. And it pisses me off. Just because something's popular doesn't mean it's not great.
Yeah.
Look at Top Gun, your favorite movie of last year.
You have to also just be honest about if it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Great does not have to be like depressing drama or... you don't have to grate your cheese, Ross. You can slice it.
Slice and melt, baby.
Potato peeler. Just the potato peeler.
But I mean, you're right. I feel like all these members aren't watching all these films.
There's no way now. No way now. There's no way that they are watching. They have
vote for what's popular.
They have assistants who tell them this movie is trending right now.
Yeah.
Like the SAG Awards is probably one of the few award shows that are actually really reflective of what's good and not. Because they have people who are in the industry.
Well, they're also in the industry. I mean, you've got producers, directors. It's everyone
academy
involved.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's an academy and then everyone that is an academy member. It is quite valid in terms of, you know.
But to your point, what are the odds that they are watching every film?
They're not fucking watching any film because some of these people are old.
And it's not just the ones that get nominated.
I mean, I'm not being ageist, like, but I mean, a fucking 80-year-old man can't watch Top Gun Maverick. Yeah. He might just die.
And for friends of the show who don't know, those pirate copies that used to have the four-year consideration is movies that were submitted for awards.
That's screeners. That is literally sent to them.
Exactly.
They watch it in the privacy of their own.
And not all of those even make it to the nominee list. So just think how many movies there are.
Fucking hell.
That you supposedly have to go out and watch.
That's the move. And All Quiet on the Western Front took it. I was extremely tired when I tried to watch that film. I didn't finish it.
Yeah,
it's a long one.
I was also not in the right headspace for, and I'm still, honestly, I still have 1917 in my head when I watch war movies.
I think I'm done with war movies.
Like, you have to outdo that.
Like I have Saving Private Ryan and 1917. Those are my all-time favorite war movies. I think there's others, I mean, Deer Hunter and all this stuff, but it's really, really old.
Mm.
But those in modern cinema, those two are the best war films I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I eat my cap.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see this, but everyone who has seen it has said it's amazing.
They've raved about
it. Yeah. And one day I'll put the time in. Mm. Not today, though.
Not anytime
so
soon.
What do...
I'm a...
It should have gone to Tar.
Out of this list, Tar was my pick.
I mean, Elvis, yeah... Elvis didn't deserve to be.
That's a lot of
booze. My bad,
just
guys.
Keep going.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. Animated feature film. I also called this one because I didn't see anything else beating it at this point.
I was rooting. You know what I was rooting.
I know you were rooting. So the nominees are Turning Red, The Sea Beast, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, myself, the shell with shoes on, which I, anyway. Right. And then the winner was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Yes. Pinocchio? Pinocchio.
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 Yeah, he's
about the pasta.
He's Italian.
It's about the pasta.
Pinocchio.
Marcel the Shell.
With shoes on.
Should not have only been nominated for animated feature.
Another thing that the Academy can't wrap their head around. And Guillermo del Toro's speech touched on that.
He did.
His acceptance speech where he said.
He was like, animation.
It's movies. These are films. This should not have its own category.
You know, no.
They are infantilizing.
I really like his career though.
Guillermo.
Because, I mean, he has some hits, he has some misses, but he does new shit
all the time. But he's his own person.
He is.
Like, he's not defined by one genre.
No.
He's constantly pushing the edge with, like, new stuff.
Mm.
If you look at the movies that he's released, there's not a logic to it.
No. And my favorite one is still Pan's Labyrinth. Anyway, he won. How are you feeling about this category? You were rooting for Puss in Boots.
No, I was rooting for Marcel out of...
No, I wanted myself to be taken seriously in other categories, but
yeah.
I get you. If it was going to take
where it was nominated, I would have wanted that. So,
but is this worth a boo?
No, because Guillermo's movie is beautiful.
Okay.
And the amount of love he put into that, it's not a boo. I was just rooting for myself.
Okay. So I'm not going to do anything.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, fine.
Upper level.
Oh, we're getting to the big dogs now.
Yeah, so if you need to pee-pee.
If you need to pee-pee, go pee-pee. But best actor in a supporting role.
Yeah, this was a...
Stacked.
This was a stacked.
Oh, yeah. This was stacked as shit. So we have Barry Keoghan for Banshees of Inisherin.
Yes.
Judd Hirsch for The Fablemans. Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway.
Love where his career is going.
No.
Absolutely love where his career is going.
Right?
I mean,
from Paperboy to this.
From Paperboy to this, to Bullet Train, to just wherever he is.
He's representative for the big dudes. I love it. And then Brendan Gleeson for Banshees of Inisherin. And the winner for that category, Ke Huy Quan, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Like, come on.
I saw God Gorilla.
Fucking Goonies never say die, bitch.
That man's speech, right?
Nah, it was crazy.
My mom is 84 years old, and she's at home watching. Mom, I just want an Oscar. My journey started on a boat. I spent a year in a refugee camp. And somehow, I ended up here on Hollywood's biggest stage. They say stories like this only happen in the movies. I cannot believe it's happening to me. This is the American dream. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to the Academy for this honor of a lifetime. Thank you to my mom for the sacrifices she made to get me here. To my little brother, David, who calls me every day just to remind me to take good care of myself. I love you, brother. Thank you to Kendall for all your support and everything you've done. Thank you to A24, to Daniels, Jonathan, Jamie, Michelle, and my Goonies brother for life, Jeff Cohen. I owe everything to the love of my life, my wife Echo, who month after month, year after year for 20 years, told me that one day, my time will come. Dreams are something you have to believe in. I almost gave up on mine. To all of you out there, please keep your dreams alive. Thank you so much for welcoming me back. I love you. Thank you.
I feel like the audience didn't know how to react when he said I was a refugee.
Yeah, because people don't like
There's a certain connotation.
They don't like coming to terms with what actually happened, Jody. They don't want to see that nonsense.
There's a certain level of, a refugee. not so nice.
No, but fuck that.
Well, that man's speech, just what's happened in his life. That part where he talks about he was this close to quitting. Like, he was done and and something made him just carry on.
And the thing is, like, leading up to this, I've heard him tell the story so many times. I never get sick of it.
No, never. Because there's a sincerity and there's just a gratefulness in this man's heart.
And the Oscars love a comeback story.
They do. They really do.
They really do. But this is deserved.
Yo, Ross, any other year, I would have been Brendan Gleeson. You know how I felt Barry about Keegan. Banshees. Either one of them could have taken this. In any other year.
I think it's
this year, I can't.
It's the whole package, man. It's the whole package. Amazing performance, amazing film, amazing story, amazing human being. From what we could tell.
Yeah. And I want to be his friend so
much. I just want to fucking hang out.
And I feel like if you and I somehow contrived to get an interview with him, he would thank us
to talk to you. To a small Cape Townian podcast, he would say, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. Every and I would be like, my bro, what do you want? Do you want strip? I can get you anything. I will pay out of my own pocket for you. All right? That's how much I love you right now. I'm super happy about this.
So happy with this. That was probably my favorite win.
Yes, actually.
Out of all of the
All of the wins.
That was probably my favorite.
Oh yeah. Double cheer for that motherfucker for sure. Then we move on. Best actress in a supporting role.
Thoughts on this one.
Okay, so let me hit you with the fucking nominees. Stephanie Hsu, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Kerry Condon, Banshees of Inisherin. Hong Chao, The Whale. Angela Bassett did the thing. She did not do the thing. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once. She won it, proving that apparently talent is hereditary.
And nepotism never dies, Ross.
So let's start with this.
Yeah. Fuck this category. Another stacked category.
Get stacked as shit. You because start from the looks. Okay, we'll get to Everything Everywhere. But Banshees, Kerry Condon.
Brilliant
come
performance.
On.
Yeah, somehow just centers all that madness in that movie.
Right?
That's going on around her.
She's the only. Anyway, you should watch Banshees if you haven't seen it.
Hong Chao
in the Whale. Her and Brendan on their shoulders.
It's literally. They're
all fucking
the
movies on their shoulders. Yeah.
That works. Yeah.
But that's again, it's taking a play and making a film. It doesn't always work.
And their relationship does.
Yeah.
Out of that whole movie.
But Sheena, if she didn't win this now, but she's going to win.
You think she's going to crack
it? I think her and Stephanie, they're going to. Definitely. Because Hong Chao.
I don't want to talk about Stephanie.
Yeah, yeah. Hong Chao has been amazing in everything that I've seen her in. Yes. Even that fucking bullshit disappointed.
The menu.
No, I love the menu.
Oh.
Jodie didn't like the menu because he's wrong about a lot of things.
Anyway, you
But no, that bullshit movie where people shrink, man.
Oh,
with Matt Damon.
We can't say
that. With Matt Damon.
Yes, I know what movie you're talking about.
Downsizing. That movie, not a good movie. Mm. Hong Chao, fucking brilliant. Yeah. And then you got Angela Bassett. Now, Angela Bassett, she did do the thing in the movie.
She did do the thing.
She did the fucking thing.
She was the thing in that movie.
The thing to be done. Mm. Yeah, this is probably the first category that I would use the word snub.
Yeah, I think so. And the person who was snubbed
was Stephanie Hsu.
Because, but I knew it's gonna happen. Because
I also knew.
The whole award show run was Jamie Lee Curtis, and I don't fucking know why, Ross. I don't know why Stephanie Hsu is. We have Kei Kwan, who's already like. There's your one emotional arc. Yeah. We will talk
Kei
about
Kwan for the next Indiana Jones film.
Yes. Mm. Then we will talk about Michelle Yeoh at some point still. But Stephanie Hsu is right there.
Jamie Lee Curtis had 15 minutes of screen time.
And it wasn't even that quiet.
Yeah, you're upset, spaghetti. And
very upset.
It's good. It's good. I love this about you.
I don't hate Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, he doesn't hate
you
Jamie
know
Lee
I
Curtis.
Love Halloween.
He does love Halloween as and a holiday and the movie. It's the one time we get to hail Satan.
But I don't know why. Why all the award show was so Jamie Lee Curtis centric?
So I look at it now like this wasn't a Best Supporting Actor Oscar win. This was a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes,
and
I can get behind that.
It irritates me that they did it at the expense of
Stephanie Hsu.
100%. And I saw someone even ask like, did Jamie Lee Curtis even know that Stephanie Hsu was nominated?
I don't think she did. You see, when Stephanie Hsu tried to congratulate her, and she was just like, what the fuck was the speech about also, Ross?
It was about, okay.
We are all winners.
So I think she was referring to like all her supporters like throughout the years in genre films specifically. Okay. Her coming up from horror, doing all these weird things and whatever.
The
like,
fight that she had to, from parents who were successful actors as well. You know how hard that
you
is.
You can't say it wasn't heartfelt. I mean, she felt it in her heart. Yeah. It's just I struggle to give a fuck about it.
It did not resonate with me at all.
And I can't fathom how you reward a film about the Asian American experience set in this crazy world.
And you give the film and you to give the it white to
the
wife.
The
word to the white woman.
It is what it is, man. But again, just like Hong Chao, I think Stephanie Hsu is gonna get that one. Get that.
I think so. She's got again, some big projects coming.
She's no, but even yeah. fucking, she has been amazing as well in everything I've seen her in. Mm. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the fucking other stuff. I can't get to it right now. It's there.
Yeah,
I am rooting for her no matter what.
Maybe this was the Academy's cakey. We're giving you a lot tonight, but this one is for us.
Yeah. No. There should never be one for the Academy.
One for you.
No. I'm going to double boo it, actually.
Double boo that shit.
Fuck me. Okay, let's move on before I flip this table. Best actor in a leading role. You have Bill Nye, the loving guy. You have
Bill.
Then you have Paul Mescal in After Sun, Colin Farrell, Banshees of Inisherin, Austin Butler, Elvis, who still talks like this.
You're still struggling to
I like to think that you're cutting me.
You know, Ross, he spent 2 years in character.
Yeah, man, you know, he took from some black people what he didn't steal. He didn't steal, really. And then the winner.
Elvis was so
It's horrible, eh? But I think that's what he deserves. That's the impression he deserves. Mm. The winner was Brendan Fraser for The Whale. I call this, even though my heart will Colin go Farrell. On, is Colin Farrell.
My heart was Paul Mescal.
Where's your heart, Paul Mescal?
Paul Mescal.
Heart, would you like a potato for Paul Mescal?
Honestly, though, Bill Nye, after watching Loving, this was a category where I feel like any of those people could have won.
100%. Any of those white men could have won.
Any of those white men. I was white is right in this category, Russ. But we've been on the Fraser Naissance for some time.
We have. And again, it's the story. It's the comeback. It is the entire package.
Mm-hmm.
The movie itself wasn't that great. You and I both agree on that.
Yeah.
But his performance, Abby actually thought his performance didn't deserve the win.
I can see why people would think that. And I mean, you know, there's lots of the fatphobic stuff that came out afterwards as well. Why didn't you cast a fat person?
Okay,
and
show me a 300 to 400 pound actor. And he was amazing.
He was incredible.
And I knew he was going to take it. Yeah, Austin Butler did not deserve to.
No, the one category, one of the categories we left out was makeup.
Someone frying chips.
Yeah.
Makeup, yeah.
Makeup, which also won
they did
because
win, yeah.
of the whale.
Because of the whale, yeah. Because Brendan Fraser looks exactly like a whale in this.
Yeah.
But sperm, I think they went with.
Yes, as opposed to blue.
Or great white. Mm. That's a shock.
That's not a whale.
But.
Steak.
Paul Mescal. Proper contender. Colin Farrell was my favorite to win.
Oh, Paddy.
Amazing performances from both of them. Paddy. Oh, and they brought
out the
donkey.
Have you seen Loving?
Yes, I did see Loving.
I mean,
no, even so, but he wasn't going to take it. I think the movie was a little too small. It wasn't
a local
marketed
director.
Enough. Yes.
Oliver Hermanos.
Hermanos! And he's not from there.
No. Missed opportunity.
Yes, dude, why didn't you move?
But he's done some good stuff. Yeah. Maybe Morpheus, one film we can cover at some point.
Yes.
When we do our retro stuff, but...
I don't think you can say that word anymore.
That's the name of the movie. What's
Let's
called?
Find something else.
Mofe.
The M word.
Mofe.
That is not how you do it. But yeah, I kid. But I did enjoy Loving a lot. I thought it was very, very good. And Bill Nye, I mean, he's always good.
Now
but in this
see,
one, he stands out a little bit.
But now
more.
You see there, you give Jamie Lee Curtis like this legacy style Oscar cuck. I would have then argued he.
No, but
there's a much smaller chance of him being nominated again for an Oscar.
Yeah, but his lifetime achievement could not compare to the comeback story of Brendan Fraser.
That's also, yeah.
And it's Brendan Fraser.
Fraser, yes. He did say
it, yeah.
Yes, he did say it's
and
Fraser.
It's Denzel Washington.
He's because does he have the same name as his father, Denzel?
I
think
don't
that's
know.
Both. And then he said they started with Denzel and then he just.
He's like, fine. But it's actually Denzel. Mm. Anyway.
Like a Cape Townian.
So we're gonna cheer this.
We're still gonna cheer
it. Okay, let's cheer it. Well deserved, and I actually look forward to the stuff he's gonna get now after this.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to actress in a leading role. Mm. So we have Michelle Williams, The Fablemans, mm-hmm. Andrea Riseborough, To Leslie, Ana de Armas.
You were still supposed to give me more info on To Leslie, eh?
I guess, I'll forget. Cate Blanchett for Tar, mm-hmm. and the winner, Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
You cannot.
Ah, but Kate was coming for her.
Your Kate was.
Kate was coming for her.
You know what I think of Fablemans.
Yeah.
So
didn't deserve to be there. Fablemans was a movie.
Yeah. I'm glad it walked with football.
Because that was some of my votes for during Oscars night was political votes, and yeah. I thought for sure they're going to give Spielberg something.
Yes, because like licking his hat before this awards show,
he left soaking wet.
But like you said, just the juice. As you said, Cate Blanchett was
hot on the heels. Hot on the heels. I'm glad it didn't pan out.
I feel like even she also kind of
she wouldn't have gotten a boo from me.
Yeah.
If she had to win. Yeah.
To be honest, her performance be honest. Is probably the most powerful performance
yes,
out of this lot here. But Michelle Yeoh, that is the performance of a lifetime.
So this would be a lifetime achievement that I would be fucking happy with.
But it's also a good...
Because I remember Michelle Yeoh.
And she has no formal karate training.
No formal kung fu training. And she was jumping off with a motorbike on a moving train in fucking Police Story. Jackie Chan was a killer. Yeah. I'm honest. What is happening? Hong Kong is bananas. She fell in a car. She fell off a moving car into the road like this clip. Watch the outtakes of Police Stories. Fucked up. Anyway. But let's give a cheer for Michelle fucking Yeoh.
That was
come on. And her speech was also really amazing. She's like, don't let anyone ever tell you past your prime.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight. This is the beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime. Never give up. I wouldn't be standing here tonight without the Daniels, without A24, without my amazing cast and crew, without everyone who was involved with Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I have to dedicate this to my mom, all the moms in the world, because they are really the superheroes. And without them, none of us will be here tonight. She's 84, and I'm taking this home to her. She's watching right now in Malaysia, KL, with my family and friends. I love you guys. I'm bringing this home to you. And also to my extended family in Hong Kong, where I started my career. Thank you for letting me stand on your shoulders, giving me a leg up so that I can be here today. And to my godchildren, to my sisters, all of them, to my brothers, to my family. Thank you. Thank you.
And again, what you mentioned, Ross.
What did I mention?
About how she said for little girls, for people like her, to see her up there winning an award.
Come on.
How much of a difference does that make? A
fucking massive difference. And she has been an Oscar winner for Asians for decades.
Mm.
And only now...
is she being recognized?
100%. Because everyone, I'm sure every Asian household around the world, I am generalizing here, but fuck it, knows Michelle Yeoh and has seen Michelle Yeoh and loves Michelle Yeoh.
She's been massive in the Chinese.
And I grew up on Michelle Yeoh because I was ducked into kung fu movies. Yeah. And then I thought she should have fucking won something for the Crouching Tiger. But I'm so glad it happened.
Well, well deserved.
Oh, wait, double cheer for that.
Cheer that shit, Ross.
Okay, let's move on to...
Our
final category, but our second final category. Yeah. Second last final.
I didn't scroll over five.
No, you should next time. So, best directing, we have Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness. Mm. We have Todd Field for Tar. Mm. We have Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans, Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin, and Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinart for Everything Everywhere All at
AKA
Once.
AKA The Daniels.
Daniels took it in the end.
They took it.
I love that guy's speech.
I love both of these speeches.
Our fellow nominees, you guys are our heroes. This is weird. We want to dedicate this to the mommies, all the mommies of the world, to our moms, specifically my mom and dad, Ken and Becky. Thank you for not squashing my creativity when I was making really disturbing horror films or really perverted comedy films or dressing in drag as a kid, which is a threat to nobody. Thank you to everybody who worked on our movie.
I know every director agrees with me when I say a director is nothing without their incredible cast and crew. This is my family, my friends. If our movie has greatness and genius, it is only because they have greatness and genius flowing through their hearts and souls and minds, and they gave that to us, to our, they gave that precious gift to our film. The world is opening up to the fact that genius does not stem from individuals like us on stage, but rather genius emerges from the collective. We are all products of our context. We are all descendants of something and someone, and I want to acknowledge my context, my immigrant parents, my father who fell in love with movies because he needed to escape the world and thus passed that love of movies onto me, my mother who is a creative soul who wanted to be a dancer, an actor, and singer, but could not afford the luxury of that life path, and then gave it to me, my incredible brothers and sisters who helped me survive the chaos of childhood, my friends from high school who taught me the RCCC, you taught me the liberating freedom of creativity and joy, and your DNA is in this film as well. My incredible son, Gio, you rearrange my DNA every day, and it's awful and beautiful every single time. If you ever watch this, I hope you know that you should never have to live up to this standard. This is not normal. This is kind of crazy. I will love you no matter what. And lastly, I just want to go back to my original point. There is greatness in every single person. It doesn't matter who they are. You have a genius that is waiting to erupt. You just need to find the right people to unlock that. Thank you so much to everyone who has unlocked my genius. This means so much to us. Thank you to the Academy.
Then Daniel Kwan had that whole thing of him having a son and whatever, and pointing out that this is an exceptional event.
Mm.
And you never have to live up to this. I will love you no matter what. Yeah. And I was like, damn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hashtag perspective.
No, because he understands the Asian pressure, especially for immigrants. Yeah. And that's exactly what the movie's about.
Exactly.
So I love
this. So it's a lived experience thing for him.
Oh, yeah.
Again, Martin McDonagh.
My
heart was
I think
was
I got this him. Wrong as well. I thought they were going to give it. No, I thought they were going to give it to Spielberg.
Spielberg,
yes. I voted Spielberg. I honestly thought they were going to give it one.
I thought he would get it.
Yeah.
Because they like, you'll give this one to whoever and direct it.
But he's going to get a lifetime.
I don't know if you've seen, but for the last few Oscars, they've almost deliberately not given the director award to the best picture winner.
Mm.
It's been like director from somewhere else.
I can't remember. But I believe you.
Yeah. So I thought Steven Spielberg was going to win.
You were like, yeah, of course.
I wanted Martin McDonagh to win it.
Yes.
But I love what the Daniels did.
Okay, so it's a different thing for me because I thought they were going to give it to Spielberg for political reasons. I wanted Martin McDonagh to win, but I wanted Everything Everywhere, but I didn't think they were going to give it to them.
Oh.
I thought
Triangle of Sadness.
It was no. I thought they were going to give it to Spielberg, but I didn't think that they would give it to the Daniels.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, it's too out there. It's too much.
Mm.
But I'm happy that they did.
Yeah,
that's a cheer for me.
That's a cheer, bro.
Nice, and for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to cheer for
Pondonic. I've been very vocal about my displeasure.
No, 100%. But
now the big one.
Also, Triangle of Sadness didn't also get anything, but I think they were just lucky to be there.
And I think Martin McDonagh is going to win something soon.
Mm.
I think that his career trajectory is heading in that direction.
Yeah.
So he'll
upwards
be
upwards and onwards, like a school motto
to infinity,
in primary school.
To infinity and beyond.
No, I was just onwards, upwards.
Oh.
Sunnyside Primary. Anyway, okay, this is the Big Peel Award, the best picture of 2023, meaning 2022.
Mm.
Your nominees are Top Gun Maverick, solid contender.
Mm.
Actually, let's give cheers to all the ones that we love.
That we like, yeah.
Top Gun Maverick. Yes. Yeah. Solid contender. Then we have Tar. That's a cheer.
Gotta give it.
The Fablemans.
Not so much. Not so much.
Didn't deserve to be there.
Elvis.
We have
not
Elvis.
So much.
No.
No. Banshees of Inisherin.
Banshees of fucking Inisherin. Avatar, The Way of Water.
Who gives a fuck?
That's not even worth a boo, no. I think. I think we just have not seen it. No. We answered.
We are not going to get it.
Shaul Carstens. I'm sorry. Mm. And then we have All Quiet on the Western Front. Not going to boo that. I've seen about a third. Okay. I've seen a third of it. So a full hour.
Mm. And then our winner.
Winner, everything, everywhere, all
gotta
the time.
Give it up.
All at once. All the awards.
All the awards.
This is now the most awarded film in history.
7 out of 7, right? What was the...
No, the most awarded film in history from all the awards.
Oh,
it beat out Lord of the Rings.
Return of the King.
Yeah.
Yeah. It Which won. Didn't win any actor awards or anything.
But I mean, that was a cinematic marvel. Yeah. So they gave him all the awards. But now this little movie that could, this fucking weird concept, crazy bananas, wonderful story... Yeah. Is the most awarded movie of all time. I'm glad I'm alive to see this, to be honest.
This is a once in a lifetime movie.
Fucking hell.
Honestly.
They can't top this. They should quit.
Also, wonderful
speech. They should pull a Lauren Hill.
Wonderful speech by Jonathan.
Yeah.
There is no movie without our brilliant and big-hearted cast and crew. But not just these beautiful souls here. Also, up there and in Little Tokyo, we see you. So this award is ours. It's intimidating speaking up here. Let me just tell you that. I never thought I would get to say this, so I say it with one voice with all these people. Thank you to the Academy. A24, thank you so much. You saw our weirdness and supported us for a year theatrically. That's incredible. Thank you. To my brilliant and beautiful wife, Ani. If all this shiny stuff and tuxedos goes away, I would just love to do laundry and taxes with you for the rest of my life. But this is for my dad, who, like so many immigrant parents, died young. And he is so proud of me, not because of this, but because we made this movie with what he taught me to do, which is no person is more important than profits. And no one is more important than anyone else. And these weirdos right here supported me in doing that. Wang Da Zhang, memory eternal. Daniels, I don't know what to say. I love you guys. You just won Best Picture.
Hey! He was the producer, yes. Correct? And he was also...
Just referencing his relationship with his father, man, all of that
I
stuff.
I think it was... For everyone involved, I would like to think that this was a passion project for everyone that was there. Every single person involved.
Definitely. You feel it, man.
You feel it. You feel in it, your fucking chalabalas.
I feel it in my chalakata.
Trapped inside a bagel.
That's my googly.
So that was the Oscars. I mean, other than that, there was no major controversy overall. I'm super happy and I'm glad we had such a lot of movies to choose from.
Yeah. Definitely. There have been some great barren years also.
Yeah, barren. Sissy Wustain.
Amen. 40 days in the Wustain.
But next time, leave Jimmy Kimmel at home. Mm.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week, Ross, we are reviewing the most drug-fueled movie you've ever seen in your life.
Scarface. Hey, Pelican.
Cocaine Bear. Directed by Elizabeth Banks. This movie is about a 500-pound black bear that consumes a significant amount of cocaine and embarks on a drug-fueled rampage. An eccentric gathering of cops, criminals, tourists, and teenagers assemble in the Georgia forest while all this madness is going on.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has a wonderful cast. I actually loved all the characters. But I will highlight Kerry Russell, Alden Ehrenreich, who I hope this is the start of good things for him after Solo flop. O'Shea Jackson, also great in Straight Outta Compton, but not so many good choices afterwards. Ray Liotta, in his second last movie.
Yeah.
And then Isaiah Whitlock, Brooklyn Prince, and Christian Convery. And I must shout out Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Margot Martindale as well. Just love them.
Cocaine Bear. Okay, based, I can't even you say can't you say can't even say based on a true story, because the true story is not even remotely close to what happens.
No, the bear just OD'd.
Yeah, the bear just OD'd in there, but like still sad. The interesting thing is that when they did like the autopsy, because the bear, the original bear is stuffed now in there, like a museum and shit.
Oh,
and then when they opened the bear up, they said his stomach was filled to the brim with cocaine. Motherfucker was and like every fucking medical emergency that could happen to someone happened to that bear, like yes. Cardiac arrest, fucking sugar spike, the works. Like
he's got sugar, man. You
know? But I mean, the bear died a long time after the cocaine was actually dropped.
So he was trying for a while.
Yeah, the movie begins and the guy's chucking cocaine out, yes. And he tries to jump out and hits his head
and dies.
Yeah, so that's also true. The guy did make the drop, and as he jumped out, his head hit the tail of the plane, and also, he died.
Just so the brass will know, there isn't really spoilers, eh? This plot is fucking... It's about a bear on drugs.
Bear does cocaine, bear geek kills everyone.
Yeah, there's not much of
spoilers. I mean, that is kind of an issue for me when it comes to this film, because okay. I wanted more bear, or more from the bear perspective.
Yes, I get that.
Yeah.
I will say this movie isn't trying to be anything other than what it is.
Yeah.
Which is a mad story. No, about it's the cool.
And I mean, set in the 80s as well. You got some cool synth vibes. Yeah. You got some popular tracks. The ambulance scene is amazing.
That ambulance scene is incredible. What they could have done with the 80s stuff is to just saturate it a bit more. And just a bit more like that graininess in terms of the picture quality. Just to age it up a little bit.
I know what you're saying. I mean, it's you're shooting with modern cameras.
You
and
feel
stuff.
Like it's overdone also.
Yeah, a little bit. I like the flashbacks of the television when they did that.
The news footage.
Yeah, that. That was legit. Yes. The wardrobe could have been pushed a little further maybe.
Yeah, it was quite basic.
You know what I mean? Kerry Russell in a jumpsuit, that was cool. I haven't seen her in a while. She looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, she did the Americans TV show.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
No. But it was big.
I haven't seen her since Felicity. Yeah. No, I've seen her in Mission Impossible 3. Okay, not 80s enough for you. I get that. I need to explain myself with the perspective of the bear situation. Mm. So I understand they wanted to make it like a slasher horror vibe. You don't know where the bear is, and then all of a sudden,
and there's more impact when she comes.
But I didn't even need that much suspense when it came to the killings, right? I wanted to see this fucking bear just devolve throughout the entire movie and get worse and worse and worse.
Okay, and maybe that's spoilery.
I'm not going to what happens, in terms of like the creative choices, I would have liked to see this bear. You start off with a bear and you end off with a bear.
You start with a bear like one or two bags in, and by the end you want...
Or even normal. You start with the bear finding the fucking drugs, because we don't get to see the bear find the drugs.
No, we just... Our very first scene of the bear, that bear is chasing a fucking eye because...
Yeah. I wanted to see the bear find the drugs and be like, what the fuck is this? And then do it and be like, whoa, what the fuck is this? And you know, like comes across people and he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And just devolve as it goes along. I would have loved that.
No, I get that.
But it didn't happen that way. No. And I get it. CGI bears are expensive.
Yeah. And the first scene with the bear, I was a bit worried.
Yeah.
The very first one. Jenna also said to
me, so it was a wonky.
Is that the effect?
But this is a small budget film. What's the film's budget?
Not a lot.
Get it.
I'll get it. I'm not on cocaine. I can't move that fast.
No. So I don't think this was a big budget film. And I understand. I mean, I wouldn't give Elizabeth Banks like $200 million.
30 to 35.
See? She doesn't have a good track record.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Because her first movie, Pitch Perfect 2, when she directed that, it was the biggest single weekend debut by a director ever. It made $69 million in its first weekend. She had success, but then you obviously talk about Charlie's Angels.
And Pitch Perfect 3, which
only hated Charlie's Angels because it's an all-female cast. Can we just get that out of the way?
Sure. No.
Can we just get that out of the way?
That is not true.
Because I happen to like
that. No, fuck that. I support women's rights and women's wrongs.
Except when they're on TV.
Jody knows this. No, it's just Pitch Perfect 3 also wasn't that good. I feel like she has so much potential, but she's not like hitting. Every time it's slightly off for me.
Yeah, I think that the one thing I didn't like in Charlie's Angels was this overemphasis on like sisterhood with women. That I feel like she didn't need to lean into it that hard. Like, no. Oh, we are so amazing.
No, but she should have got, it's a show versus tell, right?
Mm.
You can show empowerment, without, you can show women yes. supporting each other without like so being overtly. So fucking blatant about it.
But now what I liked in this movie is that I don't feel like she had any agenda like that, where she needed to like have a message.
It also makes them so one dimensional. Sorry, going back to it just makes those characters so one dimensional. Yes. Women are so fucking complex on their own.
Mm.
And there's so many emotions that go through everything. These strong women that are supposed to be strong kick-ass, showing vulnerability and helping each other. You know, that person, you put so, me all over again. With
back to cocaína, man. Yeah,
okay. Oh, the nickname of the bear, do you know it?
No.
Pablo Escobar. True story. So we can now refer...
Does not work because the bear's a female.
We can still call him, the original bear.
So then it should be Pablo.
Pablo.
Pabla.
Well, I'm not a Spanish major, okay?
Anywho, back to cocaína bear.
I was talking about cocaína.
I think...
So it's more fun.
It's literally just embracing the madness of a bear on cocaine.
Mm.
Which is liquor.
But okay, let's think about how this could have fixed it, right? Because instead of CGI bear, you go real POV bear.
Real drug.
Okay. That's abuse. In the scenes where there isn't a CGI bear, yes. you go POV.
So you want Cujo, basically.
Yeah.
You want Cujo.
Exactly, Cujo with a cocaine bear.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You can see, like, and his vision gets wilder and wilder. That is what I wanted.
They are talking about a sequel and these ideas. Well, I think,
that's a spoiler, maybe.
Sorry. You can bleep it out later.
Okay.
But I think that there's a lot of stuff here that just works really well, man.
No, the cast. Let's talk about the cast because
Alden Ehrenreich.
Alderaan from Star Wars.
Yeah.
He surprised me in this one.
I love
him. He was so good.
I saw him in that film with George Clooney. That Coen Brothers movie about the actors and the writers strike and stuff, where the writers take people hostage.
Oh, Hail Caesar.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I thought you were talking about it. Oh, brother, we out.
No. In any case, in that film, he was one of the standouts for me. Yeah. He had a really great role.
I have not seen Hail Caesar.
So he had a great role in there.
And I actually would love to see him in more comedy shit.
Yeah. Stuff like this. And again, now you talk about the comedy stuff. Him and O'Shea Jackson together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, O'Shea Jackson is his
so
father.
So much better than his father.
I think he's... Come on, man. So Friday, better. Though.
Bruh, that was... What since Friday?
Doesn't matter. He's an all-star. Friday is forever.
It's Friday then. It's focal else.
No, come on. Next Friday? No.
Friday after next?
Yeah, that's...
Ice Cube was not
that. No, don't hate, man. He's an all-star. He's done 21, 22 Jump Street.
He just growls in there. He's
That's
not
what he
that
does. He's the best.
In any case, I think O'Shea Jackson's better as an actor than his father.
If I see him in more stuff and if he works effort, if he pulls a Batista, I think he'll impress me.
Look, straight out to Compton, he was brilliant in there.
Yeah.
Godzilla, not so much.
No.
This, I really liked him.
Liked him in this one. Yeah. I liked the gang of thugs also. Hilarious. Yeah. They tried to rob him in the bathroom.
They're the worst. Constantly.
Yeah, but also, who goes to a national park to rob?
To rob people. Yeah.
It might be genius, actually.
No one's expecting it.
I think they're onto something.
But they got their asses kicked by one bra. In any case, hilarious.
Yeah, amazing, yeah. The park ranger and the...
Oh, yeah. Margot Martindale and Jesse. Oh,
she's always good, though.
When Jesse Tyler Ferguson came out, Jenna had no
Did
idea.
Did you buy him a straight?
No.
Abby didn't either. All. Yeah,
I thought he's playing gay in the in
yeah,
his
but
role.
That's what I couldn't understand. I thought he was supposed to be. I thought we were going to see that reveal that yeah, he's like gay. I'm actually gay.
Yes, because but she's like flirting.
Yeah,
with
yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't get that opportunity, and I thought okay, he's playing it as a straight guy, but I was like okay, he's not fully pulling it off.
No, but the two of them again, yeah, another very good. Hilarious dynamic.
Some of Isaiah the dialogue Whitlock, was really good. Eh?
Isaiah Whitlock also the policeman. This was just weird.
No, but he's also an all star. He's a legend. He's from The Wire, isn't it?
Yeah, he's. Also,
and he was the dog man.
there's these weird subplots.
Yeah, it's so strange, but it was the 80s.
Yeah,
so,
no, it's
honestly, Jody, I could have sacrificed some of that
For more bear,
more bear,
more bear,
more bear POV. That's what I would
have
liked.
Have loved Bay POV.
Yeah, man. Cujo, that shit. Like, why was the bear sneaking around and stalking them? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. If it's on drugs.
Yeah, that bear should be fucking psycho. You know, Jenna put so much thought into this movie after she watched it.
Why?
We were driving the next day and she says to me, do you know why the bear... Oh, well, there's that scene where the bear kidnapped the girl. That, to me, was like, why would the bear kidnap the girl and not strange. Just kill her?
Mm.
So she was saying, when the bear is high, like just after it's eaten, it's actually friendly. That's why it just lies on Alden Ehrenreich's character. That's why it took the girl without killing her. Mm. That's why it was lambing outside
so
the
it's
door.
Coming
not
down.
Anything. It's like, it's happy. And then when it's coming down and it's like, it needs more drugs, that's when it's aggressive. And I thought, like, that's a weird amount of thought that you've put into this movie.
Yeah,
but
I think too much thought.
It makes perfect sense, actually, for motivation for the bear now. But I like it.
Okay.
My wife figured shit out. She figured it out.
It's a theory. Let's say that.
What's scary, though, is that she could resonate with a cocaine-fueled bear.
Well, I mean, she's no angel.
You know?
She's had a life before you, Jody.
You know?
I do know.
You know? How much do you know?
Fucking snitches get stitches, bro. That's what I learned. Overall, though, it was a fun time.
It's a fun movie. Really. It's
still, though, I would have tweaked some things myself.
We always have ideas. Right?
No, it's not even about ideas. I feel like the problem is this concept has so much opportunity.
Mm.
And you could go in 10, 20 different directions. I just feel like this direction that they chose wasn't maybe fully what I was expecting.
I would have gone more gore also.
The gore was cool though. I mean,
it was,
I would
but
have gone
it felt
more,
a little
yeah.
like, oh, here's a leg.
Yeah.
Yes, these
no, one of my favorite ones was the bras. His hand just hanging.
Yeah. Just like but I, there was room for like really R.
Because, rape. I mean, we saw what a bear can do in The Revenant.
Yeah.
It can rape you.
It can. You know, the Caprio earned that Oscar.
No, but like legit, a bear can do real damage. You can really turn it up to 11, especially like on cocaine. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying.
Again, though, small budget.
Mm.
Okay, so... Quiet night.
I'm gonna say this was quiet.
There's like some spoilers we can talk about.
I'm gonna say it's quiet. It was a fun time. It was a liquor Friday night movie, I think.
Yeah, perfect Friday night fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quiet for me.
The bear survives.
The bear survives.
How is that possible?
And Pablo is a Pabla.
Yeah, I mean, when he said he can feel a vagina on his, on his face. Also, that didn't make sense.
No,
based
the,
on,
where the location was.
But bullshit.
The bear survived. The bear's cubs were on fucking cocaine as well. And they all just lived happily ever after.
Fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. This is the one thing that also disappointed me.
The happy ending.
I wanted... Now, this is, again, my expectation versus reality. And this, I have no one else but myself to blame for this.
Very much.
100%.
For a movie called Cocaine Bear, you have a lot of expectations.
I have accepted that. I have high expectations for a movie called Cocaine Bear. But POV Cocaine Bear, you get to get inside the brain of this fucking animal. And by the end of it, when the animal actually dies, your heart is broken.
Yes.
That's what I wanted. That's what I expected. Let me say that.
Tonally, it wouldn't have worked with this movie, though.
But yes, I mean, you would have to change that whole
thing. We
haven't
even touched on the kids. And
fuck
like
them kids,
like,
man. Fuck them
you really
kids.
Hate children.
No, I don't hate the children. But like, fuck, I didn't... Like,
their whole thing with them eating the cocaine and stuff like that. No, it was just...
Yeah, fine, whatever. I don't give a shit. The thing is, I wanted to hurt when that bear died, and then they ended up not killing the fucking bear.
No, the bear and the cubs recovered seemingly very well from...
That is not possible.
No.
With the amount of cocaine that that fucking bear consumed.
Those cubs were swimming in the dead.
No ways, bro.
They were Scrooge McDucking.
No fucking ways. No, and they, I mean, that's why they left it open, right? They left it because you said they're going to do a sequel. But
there's definitely thoughts. It's already made over 70 million on its 35 mil budget.
Oh,
so.
Cool. More than Shazam.
Yeah.
To date, let's say. Anyway, I fired them shots. But the thing is, understand now they're living it open-ended. They got the cubs, and they mentioned that there could still be cocaine scattered all over the...
I mean, they didn't.
They walk past, like, bags and stuff on their way. So I guess if you want to keep this going, you can keep this going. But fuck that, man.
Mm.
Maybe I'm getting too...
You're too worked up about it. Dude, it's cocaine bear, Ross.
I know.
It's not cocaine I want to win an Oscar bear. Just cocaine bear.
Why can't every movie be good?
This one is.
It's good.
For what it is, it's
I'm glad I got to see Aldrin Ehrenreichshein. Sorry, European names are so hard to pronounce. Always. It's just like it's not natural.
Ehrenreich?
Aldrin Ehrenreich. It's a little Nazi there, actually. Aldrin Ehrenreich! I'm glad to see him shine. He's actually on my radar now. Yeah. I want to see what he does next.
Yeah. But go,
he
must go and watch El Caesar and check him out.
Not going to do it. Not worth it.
Watch his YouTube.
You started that sentence with that other cuck Cohen movie. So I only have so much time.
I stand by my original assessment.
Okay. Cocaine Bear, there you go. It is what it is.
It's a good movie.
It's a fine movie. Okay, now it's time for Ask the Brasa Almost Anything.
Almost anything. We get some fascinating questions.
We really do. We really do.
Your casual, right off the bat. Casual hits us with, what one movie genre would you completely eliminate? Casual, I'm going to say none. I wouldn't eliminate.
Easy Tiger.
Oh, wait. No, I've got one.
Okay, you go first.
Torture porn.
Snuff films.
No, actual those like hostile, those types of movies. Just
no. You can't though. So I get what you're saying, it's part of the horror genre. So I would have said horror, but I feel like it's too important.
Yeah.
So I will say the genre that is Christian.
Ah. So the, what's that movie's Fire something?
God's Not Dead. Yeah. All that. Faith like potatoes. Scrap it all. I'd get rid of that. Fight me, I guess.
Come at us.
Christian propaganda. Let's get rid of that.
Alrighty, Charlton E. What is your take on the portrayal of Racer X in the cartoon versus the movie? This is obviously directed at you.
It is directed at me, but I will say this. Charlton, you assume that I was a fan of the cartoon.
You assume a lot.
Which I was not. I watched it on a Saturday morning, I think, when it came on, but I wasn't following. It wasn't like Dragon Ball Z. I wasn't following the storyline.
Yeah.
It was go, Speed Racer, and then it was going.
But the movie.
But the film is art.
That's a certain je ne sais quoi.
It's pure art. It's a fils de pute à mère. It is a je suis content de vous avoir.
Are you doing the Merovingian?
No, I'm just speaking French. Art. The movie is something so spectacular.
Next fucking question.
Not the next question. It's something so spectacular that I don't even care what happens in the cartoon. Mm. And what happens with Racer X and Speed in the movie is now canon for me.
Asher Pard A.
Do you know what comes before Asher Pard B?
Pard A.
Asher Pard A.
Okay, we've actually dealt with this, but what do you think of the Oscars? Did the winners deserve to win? Listen to the show.
Listen to the show, Asher. Lazy.
Just why do you even ask?
Lazy town.
Yes, yes, we did the whole episode.
Next question, Jody.
Dean Schroeder.
Classic Dean.
Do you think that there should be a stunt category at the Oscars? Yes.
Yes, okay. But it won't happen.
Two categories that I think need to be in there. Stunt categories.
And sexy. Oh. Whoops. Yeah.
Not on
the same wavelength, because some sexy dudes deserve Oscars.
Some of them do.
But I don't think it's going to be the case just because of the Oscars' hate for genre movies. I won't say hate's a strong word, but the way they ignore genre film.
Yes.
And a lot of stunt work goes into that. It goes into action, it goes into sci-fi, it goes into superhero films. And these men and women are doing amazing work.
Integral work. Without them, these movies would not exist.
I mean, I wouldn't even be mad if Keanu Reeves wins an award. Yeah. Because he does a lot of his own stunts. I would like the stunt men to shine and the stunt women to shine.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, we have two stunt women in Cape Town who have been involved with very big projects. So at some point, we should definitely try and get on the show. Alex J and Jenna Yumi, who was...
Alex J is a DJ.
Yes, you said that the last time also.
Oh.
She was the double for Jenna Ortega for Wednesday.
Jody, this
not
is...
Not Alex J, Jenna Yumi.
In this any is case, your department.
Stunt people are people too.
Well, I mean...
Should be nominated.
People are people. We're not saying they're not people, but they deserve awards.
Yeah.
I know they have their own stunt awards, but I mean, imagine winning an Oscar for something, doing something that is incredibly dangerous.
They deserve the credit.
100%.
Graziano.
Are
there any Oscars for performance of the Red Berets today? Referring to the no-show for the national shutdown in Cape Town.
But they showed up elsewhere, didn't they?
Yeah, not so much here.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I have a question for you, though. Are you going to watch Mario Brothers when it comes out? And how do you feel about your misrepresentation of culture with Chris Pratt? You know, imitating an Italian plumber.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
Turn that on you, didn't we? Tony Manayo has got two questions for us this week. Firstly, have you seen Tom Selleck audition for Indiana Jones?
I have seen it.
I haven't seen that.
It's an old clip. When you do have the time, you should watch it.
I can see him in the role.
But I'm glad he got Magnum.
More importantly, Tony Manayo also asked us, in the Fast X trailer, is Charlize and Letty going to do a face-off thing? I did not consider this ahead of this question, but now I can't not think about it.
Holy shit.
They have got to do a face-off thing. They're going to wake up. They're going to John Travolta and Nick Cage it.
They're going to take his face.
They look exactly alike.
Off.
Yeah. They're going to get John Woo in just for that part.
Do you like peaches?
I remember when that movie was being filmed and they spoke about how much time the two of them were spending together to say they could get each other's mannerisms. None of it made it into the movie.
Absolutely nothing.
I would love for this to happen, Tony. And now that you've planted this seed, this
question is blowing my mind now.
Yeah, it has to happen. Has to.
And she has to convince Dom that she is. She's actually Letty.
That she's Letitia.
My God.
And then, twist. Charlize has the cross on, not Michelle Rodriguez.
I know.
And that's how Dom knows, because family always wears crosses.
That's true. And then they actually switch Roman and Ludacris, but nobody notices.
No one cares. And they're like, we've been switched the whole time. And everyone's like,
okay. Sure.
And that is everything for
that's
this week.
That's that, and butter is fat. So, Jody, if someone wanted to find us in the woods with a bunch of cocaine, how would they do that?
We'd probably be on our laptops looking on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, Bicycle Brasser Podcast, and we'd be writing to each other at bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Bold of you to assume MTN has the coverage there, because that's my network. And I regret it ever since.
Because that's
anyway, stay safe out there, especially in the forest, guys. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.